praise report from a brother, amen. And it's up to him if he wants to share. But anyways, I'm just so encouraged to hear the good news that came out of that. And we're always rejoicing with the brethren whenever we do hear any good news, amen. We're always rejoicing when anything is going on in the life of a fellow brother or sister in Christ, where a situation at some point looked a little unique, and then how it'll come out or turn out because just trusting in God. Amen. Just keeping our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, letting the Lord kind of work it out. And so I'm very thankful for that. Man, praise the Lord. That's always a good thing to share with each other. Amen. So real quick, I just want to give you some quick announcements. But if you want to share, brother, praise support? You're good. Okay, a little shy. Anyways, just ask Brother Joe, man, why are you so happy, man? And he'll tell you, man. He'll tell you about the Lord's goodness. Okay, real quick. So calendar. Here's what's going on tomorrow. Soul winning Sunset Market, y'all, 6 to 7, if you can. Let's go ahead and continue to do our best for the Lord Jesus, reaching out to souls just one person at a time, y'all, the best we can. Use the voice God gave you. Use the body God gave you. Use your hands. I know some of us may be shy, but it's okay, and it's pretty easy just to do this. Look. Look right here. Watch it. Wait, there he goes. Bam, right there. You see that? How easy that was? One more time. There you go. Just get a person to track. Real simple. You sell that, Diego? It's pretty easy, right? So if you can join us, Diego, that'll be awesome, man. I'll buy you a hot dog, okay? So let's try to motivate our young ones to come out there to soul win. So anyway, 6 to 7, meet here at 5:45 just to pray together, get some tracks, go down there for about an hour, hour 15-ish. Again, just a little part. And then tomorrow before Bible study, if you'd like to join me again, 1 hour in front of the theater from 5 to 6. 1 hour in front of the theater from 5 to 6. You're more than welcome to join us this Saturday. Our soul winning is canceled. We're going to have a special trip. And so no soul winning this Saturday. And then that's why let's try our best to do something tomorrow and Friday. If you can join your church family, that should be a blessing. Amen. And then next month in August, we're going to have special guest speaker August. I know we're going to have the Brother Miracle. We had to reschedule him for the 21st. And then I think we're going to reschedule Brother Munoz as well for the 14th because of another engagement that he was invited to be a part of. So anyways, we're still going to get those hermanos to come and minister to us. And then keep me in prayer. Amen. Your pastor is still taking some awesome Bible school classes. And by faith, as I return, I had to kind of give up for a season when I was, if you will, looking for my biological family. About a year or two ago, I had to kind of stop the classes because of all the time that it consumed out of me to go over there traveling and et cetera, et cetera. So I put off Bible school for a season, but I got back into it. And this upcoming semester is the fall. I'm going to go through it. And by faith, in about 2 years, I'll graduate and I'll fly us all out to Florida. And no, I'm just kidding. That'll be a little expensive, but I'll Zoom y'all. Amen. But one day I'll be graduating just to continue to add to my faith knowledge as we've been learning together. It's just a conviction of mine personally. And, I just want to continue to finish what I started, amen, and I'm always being fed, obviously. I'm always reading, always studying, and so I just want to let you guys know that I'm keeping myself seasoned, amen. All right, y'all, as you guys can remember, I was just announcing that we had added our new cool little page here called Study Blogs. So let me go ahead and click on the most recent, But By Love, Serve One Another. This one here was motivated by Brother Qualmain. And he was just encouraging me the other day as we were just having a conversation. As you guys know, Brother Qualmain is a very dear brother. He's still a part of my leadership, if you will, helping me, keeping me accountable, and et cetera. So I went ahead and took that. And this, ironically, I made this the other night when I was helping out a dear friend of ours here with some paperwork. And it really stirred my heart to take some of that with Brother Q, everybody kind of inspiring. And so here's the one I made. It says, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but indeed in truth. In other words, here's a preacher or here's a Christian who just keeps teaching about God and teaching, but doesn't do nothing with the teaching. There's no compassion in action. There's no love in action. In other words, hey, I'll just see you guys later, but when you're going through it, I'm just going to stay here. No, it's quite the opposite. We need to take this thing and put it into action. So that's the motivation there. The next one here, men's commentaries versus the scriptures. Again, you always want to take commentaries with a grain of salt. Even my preferred, as you guys know, I always say, look, here's what the scripture says. If they agree with the scriptures, no worries affirming your position. But if you find out a flaw or a coinkydink in their thing, if you will, a wrench in their gear, if you will, then just say, okay, they're wrong on that thing, but they're right on this thing. So agree with them where they're right and just keep moving on. That's all you can do. Always compare scripture with scripture. I give a quick example. Genesis 1:1, the Bible says, in the beginning God created. And then look at John 1 and John 1 and 3. In the beginning was the Word. All things were made by Him. And then Ephesians 3:9, God who created all things by Jesus Christ. So without needing a commentary, I was just able to give an example of how you can identify which member of the Godhead created all things. And right there you go, Jesus Christ. So what do? Just compare Scripture with Scripture. That's going to be the best thing that you guys can always do. And then the last blog that was today is Let Your Pastor Protect You. Let Your Pastor Protect You. And as you guys can see here, the hands kind of protecting the sheep. Outside of the hands, you have the wolf and the lion. And Jesus warned the disciples about false prophets, people coming in with sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're wolves. Paul warned about it in Acts 20, that as soon as he would leave the church there in Ephesus, them wolves would get into the church and start messing things up. The Apostle John warned about not believing every spirit, but you got to try them out. Jude, the half-brother of the Lord, reminded us of the words of Christ and the apostles that in the last times there's going to be some ungodly people walking after the lust. Better watch out. And then Peter, same thing, reminding us of the words of Jesus and the apostles that they warned us that in these last days scoffers will come. So again, let your pastor protect you, amen, because ultimately what's going to happen is as soon as you guys stray from the Word of God, stray from being in fellowship, the enemy can not only get you through a false teacher or a false prophet, but he can still get you. You say, what does that mean, brother? You can fall into self-deception when your anger gets the best of you, your wrath, your malice, and your pride. And it can stir you up to be envious. It can stir you up to be strifeful, and the enemy's in that thing. So stay within the fold. Amen. Stay within the fold. Okay, ministry opportunities, like I said, tomorrow, please join us if you can, just an hour and a half or so or less. And then Friday, if you can, in front of the theater, that'll be a blessing. Prayer, we all need prayer. Please submit it. Don't be shy. Put it right here on our website. We'd like to be in prayer with you and in prayer for you. And then last but not least, if you're a member of this church, hope you are, please remain faithful in your financial support. Whatever you purpose between you and God, you can do so online here or in the box back there. And then today, as we announced it last Saturday, Pastor Josh is going to be going on a mission trip to Africa. And obviously, we have a small church. It's not like we have a lot of folks that we were able to give a huge donation just to be a blessing. But you know what? Whatever you have in store within your heart, just know that it'd be a blessing, that God will help you. He'll bless you for being a blessing to other Christian men that are laboring for the Lord. So some of us may have our fun tonight. Some of us may not. That's okay. I'm going to drive down there Friday after work to deliver to him personally. So if you can, join me tomorrow, soul winning, and you can give it to me then. But we're going to contribute a little bit, and whatever else anybody wants to give from here until tomorrow, that's cool. And then Friday, I'll take it down there. We just want to tell Pastor, thank you so much for being our friend. We love you. We want to support you in the ministry. And let me share with you one scripture on that, which is going to be a devotion upcoming for the brothers that get that. Look at here in real quick in 3 John. In 3 John, I'll just show you here on the screen here, 3 John. And the Bible says here in verse number 5, Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that for his name's sake, they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. It's always a blessing to help Christians do something for Jesus. And as you guys know, obviously, again, we still have a small church. We may not get a lot of in, but the Lord takes care of our rent. By faith, we want to keep on blessing some missionary brothers and taking them on. Just know that God is going to bless our church when we're being a blessing to other members of his church, even though they don't have to congregate here because they're serving the Lord. And rather than having to depend upon a business or a labor or the world to help them do something, we can be a blessing to them as a part of the church. Amen. So just keep that in prayer. I just want to encourage you that that we'll be able to do that Friday. So just let me know. I'd be more than happy to meet you here to get that from you. Amen. That's pretty much it for announcements. Other than that, again, like I said, if you can, just please join us for tomorrow's soul winning. All right, with that said, let's go ahead and get right back into our study, the book of Acts, chapter number 24. Acts chapter 24. We're going to finish today, and we're actually going to start Acts chapter 25. So we're going to complete the book of Acts, chapter 24, finish up with some last-minute notes, and then we'll get back on our Bible train, verse by verse. We're going to continue through the book of Acts. And particularly here, the book of Acts, chapter 25, we're going to read through that as well. So turn with me in that Holy Bible, Acts chapter 24. We're going to finish up with some last minute notes here to finish up on Felix, and then we'll go ahead and continue here in our verse by verse study through Acts chapter 25. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, I thank you for the word of God this evening. I thank you so much to see the saints that came here tonight, God. Lord, this week has been tough for many of our saints. The devil doesn't give up, Lord. He is a 24/7. He works overtime, Lord, trying to take out your people, trying to tempt your people, trying to discourage your people from following your son, Jesus Christ. But I'm thankful for the Bible you preserved. I'm thankful for the Holy Ghost you've given us. And I'm thankful for church members that take a hold of that flesh, God, to get themselves to church, Lord, so they can be refreshed by each other, refreshed in prayer, refreshed by the hearing of the word of God. Tonight, God, I just want to pray generally on behalf of all of our members, Lord. Some of them have some praise reports within their hearts. Some of them don't. Some of them have some joyful spirits and others don't, God. But I'm glad that you know the hearts here tonight. I'm glad that you know their need and what you need to give them. Tonight, would you use me as a vessel to give them what they need, to refresh their spirit in the word of God, to strengthen the joyful and to lift up the downhearted tonight, God, so they can keep trusting you, keep loving you, and keep coming. Keep coming. Father, thank you for what you're going to do tonight. We surrender this time to you. Please teach us something from the book so our lives can change to be more like Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We talked about Felix. There was three sermons that we did concerning what Paul was talking about when he was sharing the gospel in Acts 24, verse 25. We talked about how Paul reasoned with him of righteousness. We gave you a sermon on that. We talked about temperance. We gave you a sermon on that. And then lastly, we just finished off last Sunday with judgment to come from the Wednesday ago about how Paul ministered to him the gospel. Tonight, we're going to finish up with Felix as it pertains to a little bit about the background history that we don't know. God didn't put it in the Bible, but secular history can assist us fill in some of the areas within the secular history of men that are actually recorded in the Bible to give us a broader understanding of the character behind their life. And so tonight, that's what we're going to do. We're going to quickly talk about Felix, and I'm going to give you some of the dictionary notations here concerning his life. And perhaps that was a reason why Paul talked to him about certain things in his life. So here we have it. According to Easton's dictionary, Drusilla was the daughter of Herod Agrippa, having been indeed by Felix to desert her husband, the king of Emesa, became his adulterous companion. She was seated by him when Paul reasoned before the judgment. When Felix gave place to Festus, being willing to do the Jews a pleasure, he left Paul bound. So according to history, this fellow Felix, man, he was an adulterer. He was able to get a hold of Drusilla from another man. She was married to another man, and through bribery perhaps, through authority, through relationships, through culture, was somehow, some way able to take this woman unto himself illegally. And so, no wonder why, when Paul was talking about God and giving him the word of God, no wonder why he trembled. Sometimes we may feel like that when people talk to us about our sin. I'm not sure about you, friend, but I know that I felt convicted when I heard gospel of Jesus Christ and somebody was telling me why I needed to respond to him because they were talking to me about some things I knew that I was guilty of doing. You don't have to raise your hand, but I know y'all can say amen to that. Here's another dictionary, history. Felix, of course, the Roman governor of Judea, originally a slave, but manumitted and promoted by Claudius Caesar, from whom he received the name of Claudius. He is described by the historian Tacitus as cruel, licentious, and base. So he was a bad dude. In Judea, he married Drusilla, sister of the younger Agrippa, having enticed her from her second husband, Azizus. So again, history tells us he got married illegally. He stole a woman from another man. And so here comes a Christian into his life, telling him about Jesus Christ and confronting him with the reality of his life that you got some sin in your life, Felix. Here's the judgment from God, and here's why you need to send Jesus Christ. And so again, that's what we do. We confront people with their sin with compassion and grace. We're not telling them we're better than they are, amen. But we're just telling them, here's the judgment, here's the sentence, condemnation. But don't feel too bad. You can escape that if you're willing to turn to Jesus Christ, amen. But it should cause them to tremble. But perhaps that's why we're not surprised, as God records for us, that he trembled, because the gospel of Jesus Christ pricked his heart. It penetrated his soul and divided the soul and the spirit to get in there to the bones, Hebrews 4:12. You can read that, convicting him of his sin and his need for Jesus Christ. Let's finish up with some quick lessons that we can learn tonight from his response. Look at what he says in verse 25. He answered Paul, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." How many of us, before we got saved, used to shrug off the Christian that was attempting to share the gospel of Jesus with us? How many of us didn't really want to hear it? Hey, man, I won't talk to you about it right now. I'm kind of enjoying myself. Or, man, you're just preaching too much. I'll talk to you about that later. Amen. That's going to be the natural reaction of people. So don't get discouraged. You and I were just like that. How many of you, however, get this type of reaction? Now listen, from others, when you try to share with others, even now, or how many of us treat other Christians this way when they're calling out a fault within our lives, when they're pointing out some sin within our lives, and you tell them, "I don't want to hear that right now, but I'll talk to you later about that." Amen. You see, what's going to happen is light. It's going to convict the darkness either while we're practicing it or while we're lost. And at times, we're going to shrug them off. We're going to not want to hear it. But don't give up. Don't give up. Talking about an unbeliever, amen? But let's look at verse 26. He hoped also that money should have been given him for of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore, he sent for him the oftener and commune with him. So Felix, even though he was getting convicted, every time Paul talked to him about the Lord Jesus and his need to get saved, he kept calling him because he thought that he can get some money. He was in it for the money, which kind of tells us a little bit more about the heart of the man. Friend, don't let money or the offer from your friend or your family or some random person hinder you as an attempt to temporarily satisfy your lust. That's what we can learn tonight from this fellow Felix before we close on this chapter. I'm going to ask you to direct your attention to the screen to prove to you tonight that if we ever attempt to accept a bribery to overpass a judgment on another, if we ever attempt to accept something somebody's trying to offer us in order to keep something a secret, or perhaps to try to appease or satisfy another because you have a secret somebody else that you don't want them to know, I'm going to show you tonight that God warns us of us either accepting a bribe, accepting money that's illegally gained, or extorting another because of something you know you got on him. I'm going to show you tonight that God is going to call that a perverted mind. A perverted mind. So let's go through this now. Bible train, Proverbs 17. Just go and look up to the screen. We're going to go through this quickly. Proverbs chapter 17, verse number 23. Here's what God says about a man who accepts bribery or gains funds illicitly. That's what we call extortion. He calls them perverts. So don't just limit the term perversion to, you know, like a dude looking at a younger person, right? A young girl or young boy, you know, stuff like that. But actually, bribery can show that somebody has a perverted heart. Look here, Proverbs 17:23. The Bible says, "A wicked man taketh a gift out of the bosom," are you ready? "To pervert the ways of judgment." Here's some money. If you, what is the man going to consider within his heart? The conscience. If I do this, here's what I can get. I can do with this money. If I take this gift from this guy who's given it to me illegally, or this girl, to oversee a thing or to pass over a judgment, you know what God said? You just perverted your judgment. Don't let money blind you today, friend. Don't let a friend offer or something that's coming your way blind you from the judgment of God. Amen. Exodus 23. We're just going to hop over in different train area. Bible train stops here. Exodus 23. Just look up to the screen. Verse number 8. God told the people of Israel, even under the law, thou shalt take no gift, for the gift blindeth the wise and perverteth the words of the righteous. Two warnings so far from the Bible, because it's all profitable. Remember, yes, we rightly divide, but it's profitable. Don't try to accept something that was illegally obtained, because it's going to pervert your judgment. It's going to go against the word of God. How about that? Deuteronomy chapter 16. We're just going to go through these quickly. Verse number 19. Bible says here, "Thou shalt not wrest judgment. Thou shalt not respect persons, neither take a gift. For a gift doth blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of the righteous." 1 Samuel chapter number 8. Here's an example of what happened with some fellows that ended up doing just that, what God forewarned them about. Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 8, Samuel was old. He made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of the firstborn was Joel. The name of the second, Abia. They were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre and took bribes and perverted judgment. By the way, you know what God warns of New Testament Christians for the pastors and elders and leaders in a church? He tells them not to do it for filthy lucre. Whenever money is involved, it can do something to the heart of man. Trust me. Do not allow money to blind you. You guys know we're so small. I work to pay my own bills. I work my way to provide for our church. But one day, hopefully, by some miracle, we can get big enough where I can commit myself full time. But even then, for those pastors, some of them, you're going to hear stories. They rob a little bit here, or some secretary person rob a little bit there. Just know, it's better to just trust in God's word, amen, over that thing. Isaiah chapter 1, looking here next in our Bible stop. Verse number 23. Bible says here, "Thy princes are rebellious, companions of thieves. Everyone loveth gifts, and followeth after rewards. They judge not the fatherless, neither doth the cause of the widow come unto them." So here's God rebuking the nation of Israel for those that were in a position of spiritual authority, and he is calling them out because they became blinded from judging righteous judgment from the law because they were accepting money. Somebody was paying them off. You guys heard about that term, amen, in the world. A couple of more. Ezekiel. Just look up here to the screen. We're going to do these quickly. 22, verse number 12. "In thee have they taken gifts to shed blood." What do you call that? Hire for murder. Y'all heard about them assassins. You heard about hitmen. You heard about people that join gangs and they get a little payment to take out a fool. Well, God already told them, and that's been around forever. "Thou hast taken usury and increase, and thou hast greedily gained of thy neighbors by extortion." We're going to talk about that. "And hast forgotten me, saith the Lord." You know what that money can do to a man? It can help a man forget about God. You know what trusting in riches can do for you? It can help you to stop trusting in God. When you think that money is going to satisfy you, when you put that that career ahead of God and that career ahead of serving God, it will eventually, if you don't get a hold of it, it will eventually help you to forget about him. So that's why I'm always telling you, church, put God first. Give of your money to the Lord, whatever your purpose. Get into service to continue in ministry, because what's going to happen is when that career gets a little bit more important, it'll help you to forget about God. You don't want to get there. A couple more. Job 15. A couple of last warnings about taking bribes. Job 15:34. "For the congregation of hypocrites shall be desolate, and fire shall consume the tabernacles of bribery." We got quite a few examples of the heart of the man that does this, or the woman that is engaged in this kind of lifestyle. God called them perverts because their judgment became perverted. He called them blind because their eyes became blinded after the money to not consider to do that which is right. He calls them hypocrites. He calls them hypocrites. And then lastly, Psalm 26, verse number 10. "Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands is mischief, and in their right hand is full of bribes." No wonder sometimes people murder others, because they become blinded by the deceitfulness that riches can satisfy their soul. Man, we got to keep those folks in prayer. Other verses that you can read on your own is, gosh golly, I don't know what that notation is. By the way, you guys know I write all my own notes. I don't even know what that AM 512. I don't know what that could mean, but perhaps it was connected with another verse. Let me leave you with this. I know I said last one. Just give me one more. I apologize. Isaiah 33, because we have to really let the word of God sink in our ears concerning this thing here. Isaiah 33:13. Let's read this together. The Bible says, "Hear, ye that are far off, what I have done, and ye that are near, acknowledge my might." That's always a good thing. Amen. Hey, remind yourself of who God is. Remind yourself of how strong he is. Remind yourself of who he is and the power of his might. There ain't nothing wrong with that. He says, "The sinners of Zion are afraid, Fearfulness hath surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with the everlasting burnings? He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppressions, that shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil, he shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him. His waters shall be sure. So you know the man or the woman that God is going to bless in return is the person who avoids bribes. The person who avoids gaining of funds or gaining of things in an illegal manner that does not go against the laws of God, he's going to bless that person. But the people who do give into it, he's going to judge. Felix, he's going to judge you one day, and all of our friends or family members who could perhaps be involved in money-making schemes that we know are illegal. In this case, bribery. God has warned all of us, both Christian and non-Christians, believers and unbelievers, that taking a financial gift in secret or receiving finances illegally demonstrates that the heart or the mind of the person who gives or receives is perverted. But just let this double-edged sword just stick a little bit more in us a little bit more and let it do what it's meant to do. Let's go ahead and, for the sake of discussion, let's go ahead and substitute money for another gift. What if people offered you a sexual gift? What if they offered you an entertainment gift, a material gift, to receive it illegally, secretly? God is going to warn you. As soon as you allow yourself to be enticed by those things, it already proves your judgment got a little perverted. So what do you got to do? Take control of that thought and don't give in to that thing just because of a temporal satisfaction, either to appease a person, a group of people, or your own secret. No, friend, don't do that. The Lord warns even us Christians from what he calls extortion. But friend, it all starts when our hearts become perverted from the judgments of God. We must avoid the Felixes of this world or even other carnal Christians. You say, Pastor, for reals? You're telling me that even Christians can still sin against God and man by accepting briberies or even extorting? Yes. Let's go now together. Turn your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Go down with me to verse number 11. At first glance, when I read this a long time ago, I asked myself, what does that even mean? Extortion. What does it mean when one extorts? And Christians can do that? I mean, that was a problem 2,000 years ago when Paul was alive writing to the believers in Corinth. Oh, yeah. And it's still a problem today, friend. Look what the Bible says here in 1 Corinthians 5:11. But now I have written unto you, not to keep company, if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, and then look at that last one, or an extortioner, with such an one know not to eat. What is an extortioner, friend? The act of extortion is the act or the practice of wresting anything from a person by force, duress, menaces, authority, or by any unlawful exercise of power, illegal exaction, compulsion to pay money, or to do some other act by force or compulsion by which anything is taken from a person. Jesus Christ called the Pharisees hypocrites and extortioners because they were doing just that. He even called the scribes extortioners. And here, for a Christian in 1 Corinthians, the Holy Spirit warns us of this sin, that we will not inherit the kingdom of God if we Christians extort. Look at the next chapter in verse number 9 through 10. He says, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. What should our heart be then as we study what to avoid concerning the Felixes of this world or even carnal Christians who may still be involved in doing those type of things against people? Like I said, it may not even be money. It may be a sexual pleasure for the sake of, again, appeasing a secret or whatever. It may be a material. It may be something social. I don't know what it could be for believers out there that are being extorted by force, but you got to be careful. Look up to the Bible screen real quick. Let me just give you these next couple of verses on the opposite, what we should do. Romans 12, verse number 17, tells us that we need to be honest. Bible says, recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If they do you evil, friend, let it go. Don't try to gain anything from them. Don't try to extort anything from them. Don't try to satisfy your anger, your desire by telling somebody by force. If you don't, then I will. No. Don't recompense evil for evil. Just continue to be honest yourself within your own life. Romans 13:13. What does he tell us? Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. We want to be honest. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, like I said, these are just some quick verses to encourage us on how to not act like Felixes or carnal Christians who extort. It says in verse 21, we need to provide or providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. That's why sometimes we ask help from you, Christian. Hey, can you help my wife just count the money that goes into that box? Because what we want to do is be honest before the conscience of a Christian. Obviously, God knows our intentions. If nobody can help count, the Lord knows we're being honest. But we want to be as honest as we can, not only in the sight of God, but others that are watching us. Amen. We want to maintain that honest rapport. We want to be who we are in secret and public. That's character. 1 Peter 2, last one on honesty, verse number 12. Having our conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak evil, against you as evildoers, they may buy your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. So what is God concerned with you when you find yourself in a situation where that may be a thing? Do the right thing. Be honest. Don't please the Felixes. Don't please the carnal Christians. Just get out of it. Just get out of it. Amen? Let's talk about the successor, Festus. Felix had left about AD 58 through 60. We're kind of there in our chronology time frame. Felix, as procurator of Judea, he became the governor. And a few weeks after he had entered into his office, the case of Paul was brought before him. There was still a prisoner, he told King Agrippa, who came to visit next. In a couple of verses, we're going to read back in Acts 25. And then eventually he was brought before him. Let's go to Acts number chapter 25 and read a little bit now on the chapter that we're starting. Acts chapter 25. And let's read together starting here in verse number 1. Bible says, now when Festus was come into the province, after 3 days, he ascended from Caesarea to Jerusalem. Then the high priest and the chief of the Jews informed him against Paul and besought him and desired favor against him that he would send for him to Jerusalem, laying wait in the way to kill him. But Festus answered that Paul should be kept at Caesarea and that he himself would depart shortly thither. Let them therefore, said he, which among you are able, go down with me and accuse this man if there be any wickedness in him. And when he had tarried among them more than 10 days, he went down into Caesarea, and the next day, sitting on the judgment seat, commanded Paul to be brought. When he was come, the Jews, which came down from Jerusalem, stood round about, and laid many and grievous complaints against Paul, which they could not prove. While he answered for himself, this is what Paul says, neither against the law of the Jews, neither against the temple, nor yet against Caesar have I offended anything at all. But Festus, willing to do the Jews a pleasure, answered Paul and said, wilt thou go up to Jerusalem and there be judged of these things before me? Then said Paul, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat, where I ought to be judged. To the Jews have I done no wrong, as thou very well knowest. For if I be an offender or have committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die. But if there be none of these things whereof these accuse me, no man may deliver me unto them. I appeal unto Caesar. And so that's essentially the whole chapter. Festus is replacing Felix. He's the new governor. Paul, remember, he was still in jail for 2 years. So a couple of months thereafter, a couple of weeks, not sure as to the time length, but he is calling him now to re-listen to his case. But the entire time, there's an attempt to please the Jews, to judge him, because what do they want to do? They want to kill Paul. Look at here in verse number three. They told him straight up, look, why don't you just do your job, okay? And by your authority, say, hey, take him to Jerusalem so he can get judged again down there. They want to kill him. But aren't you glad that God had a plan for Paul's life and he was going to make sure that he successfully fulfilled his thing that he promised him to do? What is that, you might ask? Well, there's only three times in your Bible that Jesus says, I will show. There's three times in your Bible that God stated specifically, I will show, which means that he's going to do something. And we're going to cover those real quick. Remember, the Lord is fulfilling the plan that he had for Paul's life from Acts chapter 9, when he told Ananias that he would bear his name before the Gentiles, which again are non-Hebrew or non-Jewish people of descent from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he would go before kings and the children of Israel. So because Jesus said, this is what Paul is going to accomplish for me, these Hebrews, they're not going to take him out until it's time for him to go. In other words, until he accomplished his job. Let me just give you guys a quick side nugget about that. When he said, I will show. Let's go to Acts chapter 9 real quick. Acts chapter 9. And look at here. You guys remember this account? Some of you guys are very familiar. Some of you guys are very familiar with this account as far as what we've been discussing. Some of you guys are familiar with the testimony that we have from Paul, and as it pertains to Ananias when all this went down. And so when Paul was still not saved, when he was still an unbeliever, Jesus confronted him on his way to Damascus. You guys remember that story. In Acts 9, he says in verse number 4, he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He said, who art thou, Lord? In other words, are you God? The Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. So he knew he was convicted. The Lord has been convicting him for a season now. And he trembling astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? The Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Now look at there. Must do. You're going to do something now, Paul. So then he goes down and talks to Ananias. And here we have this interaction that Jesus confirms with another fellow named Ananias. And here's what he tells him concerning the call, if you will, the what he must do that he stated earlier. He said, arise, go into the street, which is called Straight, inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And had seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. But Ananias, much like a lot of Christians, would be a little fearful. Hey, Jesus, don't you know this guy that you're asking me to pray for? Don't you know how much evil he's done against Christians? Are you sure? The Lord said, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. Now watch this, to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings, the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Do you see that? So what do we observe here? The Jesus who showed up and said, I am Jesus, the one who said he must fulfill a thing, is going to fulfill that thing. And these Hebrews are not going to stop him. What are some application for us here today? When you got saved, the Lord gave you some gifts to use. He gave you a calling and a plan and a purpose. And the enemy ain't going to be able to stop you until it's time for you to go. So just trust in God. Believe that his way is going to work out, not your way, not your power. Just do it his way. He will see you through it unto the end of your course. In Acts 22, verse 8, when Paul recounts this account, he says, what the Lord stated to him was, I am Jesus of Nazareth. And then later on, Acts 26, 15, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. That phrase, Jesus of Nazareth, is found in 21 verses within our King James Bible. We're not going to go through all of them tonight for the sake of time, but just know that's very important. Because again, one of the main things that these Hebrews had to deal with was that man of Nazareth who is being proclaimed as resurrected from the dead. So throughout the book of Acts here, as we're almost done with this whole book, the one thing that we can identify is that Jesus was fulfilling the plan he had made with Paul, or he had for Paul, that he would send him unto all men. Let's go now to Acts chapter number 22. And let's just remind ourselves of these verses, because Acts 25 is going to be pretty and fairly easy to read through, as there's not necessarily much other than just the court case and getting ready for Acts 26, which is kind of like the bigger deal, if you will, concerning that. So let's go ahead and reread that together. Acts 24, and go down with me to verse number 14 through 15. What's unique is, again, here we have Paul that's just rehearsing the testimony that Ananias told him. Remember that back in Acts 9? So in this account, look at what we read, a little bit of other details that we didn't really get in Acts chapter 9. That's what we call progressive revelation, God giving us a little bit further light more into the Bible. Look at here in verse number 13. So he's just telling these folks before him of the testimony of Ananias. Came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. The same hour I looked upon him, and he said, The God of our fathers hath chosen thee that thou shouldest know his will and see that just one and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. Now watch this. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. So again, we didn't really see that in Acts chapter 9. We didn't really see that little detailed account concerning what he was going to do or what he was expected to accomplish on the behalf of Jesus Christ. But what can we confirm? Jesus said, what you must. Remember that in Acts 9? So he's on his way fulfilling what he said he must accomplish, which is to be a witness. One more on this topic of Paul's commission. Let's go to Acts 26. He is standing before the Gentiles, is he not? He's standing before, eventually in Acts 26, he's going to be standing before a king. So what does that prove? Jesus is faithful to his word. Look at here with me in Acts 26, verse 14 through verse number 18. Acts 26, verse 14 through verse number 18. The Bible says here, when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. So now we're going to get even further detail, further light that we did not read, where? In Acts chapter 9. To make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. So two things that Paul is going to tell Felix, Festus, King Agrippa, and the rest of his ministry. He's going to share his testimony. Here's what Jesus did in my life. And number two, here's who he is. He is the Messiah. He is the long-awaited King of Israel. He is the Son of God. He was God manifest in the flesh. You need to trust him to be saved. Jews, you cannot trust that law. It doesn't justify your soul before God by faith alone and Christ alone. Gentiles, you can't trust in your idols. The God who created all things is not fashioned like a thing you can make. You need to trust in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is going to testify of what the Lord will eventually teach him, but of his testimony. What can we gain from application from that, church? That's what we too are called to do. We're called to go out there to preach the gospel, but also to share what? Our testimony. How did you get saved? Share that with somebody. Sometimes I know that may be a little, again, nervousing for us to approach a stranger for the first time. And before you start giving them, you know, John 3:16, and you start going through the Romans road, etc., and you start telling about all the doctrine, why don't you just share a little bit about what he did for you? You know, break the ice a little bit. Nothing wrong, because that's exactly what Paul was telling these Jews. I was on my way to take out Christians. This light came, knocked me on my butt, and now I'm saved. Let me tell you who he is, amen? So nothing wrong with that. So now look here, verse number 17. Jesus said, delivering thee, now he's talking about Paul, from the people, from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. What was Paul's purpose, church? To be a witness of what? the things that he saw and the things that which the Lord would teach him later. And what are those things? Well, he made it clear. This is later, right? Verse number 18, Acts 26. This is later from Acts chapter 9. What was the truth that he was to proclaim? To turn unbelievers from darkness to light. To turn unbelievers from the power of Satan unto God. And that believers may receive the forgiveness of sins and inheritance, which is by faith alone in Jesus. Who was the audience for Paul? Unto all men. And more specifically, what did he say earlier in Acts 9? He would send him unto the Gentiles, unto kings, and unto the children of Israel. So yes, even those Jews who had the law, they had their local synagogues, they heard about Jehovah. You need to tell those Hebrews, those descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the only way that you're going to receive the forgiveness of sins is by faith in me. Faith in the name of the Son of God, friend. So as we continue in Acts 25, here's what we've learned so far, an application for us today from observing Paul's life. Number one, Jesus knows if people will or will not receive his love through the gospel. He'll send us to the next person, the next place, the next area where he knows the hearts of people will receive it. You can read that in Acts 22, 17 through 18 concerning how he's going to continue to send. We're just getting application. He'll direct our steps when we pray and yield to him. I think this may be more important to focus on, but let me finish with the next 2 points. Number two, he will continue to use us to reach other people when the people we are attempting to reach at the moment reject him through us. You can read that in Acts 21, 11 through 13 and Acts 23, 11. Even if or when we make a choice that strayed from our calling, he can still redirect our steps to accomplish his purpose. It just may get a little harder and more difficult, obviously, than he had initially planned out. However, if we remain faithful and stick it out, he can still accomplish that course. Let me finish up our church service with this last word of encouragement for us today about the steps that God can direct to accomplish his will. Turn your Bible with me to the book of Proverbs chapter 5 and Proverbs chapter number 16. I feel like this is real important to share with our church tonight concerning life, because sometimes we make a choice. Sometimes we make decisions that will either help us to continue to remain on the path, or they don't. And obviously, we're going to have to wait over time to find out whether it was a good choice or a bad choice. But rather than trying to identify, was it good or bad, why don't we just ask ourselves, was it in the will of God or not? And you may ask me, Brother Carlos, how do I know if that choice that I made was the will of God for my life? I'm going to show you now. We're going to judge ourselves in that situation, and that's how we can find out. Are you ready? Let's look here, Proverbs chapter 5. Let's read together. Oh, I apologize. Proverbs chapter 3. I got the numbers wrong. Many of you guys have heard this verse before. This is famous, and this should be one of your memory verses, church, one of your many verses. Let's read together now, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. The Bible says here, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Okay? One more, Proverbs 16, verse number 9. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. So again, the question, before we close, let's finish up with this understanding. How do I know when this will happen? How do I know that the step that I took was God leading me? Well, let's let the Bible answer that rather than, Brother Carlos, what do you think? Let's go back here to Proverbs 3 once again. Verse number 5, did you trust in the Lord with all your heart? Did you trust in the Lord with all your heart? If you did not trust in the Lord with all your heart, but with some of your heart, that was not the Lord directing your step. Let's just keep it straight. He said, all your heart. Okay, so now I ask myself, did I make that decision trusting in God with all my heart? If not, okay, now I know why. The next thing, lean not unto thine understanding. Did you lean on your understanding when you made that choice? Did you reject the counsel that God gives you from the Bible because you're not reading your Bible, or you failed to go to church, or you failed to talk to the pastor or other seasoned Christians within your life that can show you scripture to help you with that choice? If you didn't do that, then that's not the Lord directing your step. Let's just keep it straight. Verse number 6, did you acknowledge him in all thy ways? If you acknowledge him in some of your ways, in a little bit of your ways, don't be surprised, Christian, when he doesn't direct that path. What do we need to do, friend? I need to put the Word of God, let me get it real quick. It's right here, okay? I need to put the Word of God ahead of my feelings. I need to put the Word of God ahead of my family members. I need to put the Word of God ahead of my wallet. I need to put the Word of God ahead of my workplace. I need to put the Word of God ahead of everything where my heart is inclined to go and to trust in, because all those things are right here where I can see them. I understand that it's easier and more natural for us to trust in things we can see or people we can see for immediate answers on a situation. I know. I get it. I'm a human being. I'm Brother Carlos. Remember, I'm a piece of dirt with a conscience that got saved. I know what's up. But here's what your God wants you to do, who's invisible. He wants you to trust in him. And that trust is you right here on earth right now, taking that thought, taking that feeling and getting it under control and just judging yourself. Is this in alignment with God's will? Is this a holy thing for me to do? Is this a righteous thing for me to do? Am I abandoning Christians? Am I maintaining unity among Christians? Am I giving for the cause of Christ? Am I serving for the cause of Christ? Well, then that choice that wants for me, that gets me to depart the brethren, or that gets me from stopping serving God or being faithful, that's not the Lord directing my step. That's just Brother Carlos being a fool. And no wonder why it becomes a little bit more difficult for me, even though the Lord can redirect me. But now here's an obstacle that wasn't intended for me. But now the Holy Spirit perhaps said, okay, Lord, He's being a little hard-headed. She's being a little hard-headed. Put that thing right over here so they can learn their lesson, so that way when we get them back on the path over here, they'll be a little bit more trustworthy. I don't know how God deals with us, you see. But I'm just telling you, how will he direct our steps? I have to trust. I have to lean not unto my feelings or my understanding. I got to trust in his understanding. I got to trust him in all my ways, not just some of my ways. If I expect for him to direct my step, then I got to obey the way that he has commanded me to obey him. And then lastly, look at Proverbs 6, and let's just go back there real quick. and we're done. Look at verse 9. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Ultimately, friend, we make the choice. We make the choice to do one of two things. One, I'm going to take that feeling. I'm going to get a hold of it. I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask God, God, you know what I feel like doing right now, Lord? And I know it's not the right thing to do, but I'm coming before you with the little heart that I got, this little faith, because I know you love me. I know you care about me. Would you help me? Here's what my heart wants to do, God. I know this ain't going to glorify you, Lord. I know what your Bible says. Brother Carlos reminded me tonight. I know I got to trust you. I know I should not lean on my understanding. I know I should acknowledge you. So right now, Lord, I'm going to do that. Would you help me to do that now? Church, when you humble yourself in the sight of God, you know that Bible says he will lift you up. He exalts the humble. So then the decision that you make after the fact, don't be surprised how it comes out acceptable with God, and it's going to be a blessed choice because you took the time to consider him. But what did we learn a little bit earlier before we close? The money and the bribery and all those things that can pervert the judgment, blind the heart, and eventually get me to forget about God. A lack of trusting him over time, a lack of leaning on your own understanding over time, doing that over time, and a lack of acknowledging him on our ways. You know what eventually you do? You're going to forget about God. Ain't going to be good for you. All those choices and all those decisions that you have other people saying, oh yeah, that's good, who are not Christians, who are not going to church, who are not saved, no wonder why you reap what you sowed. So as I close, Paul, he wasn't perfect, amen, even though people want to lift him up. He was a man of like passions like you and I are today, with all of our struggles going on. Remember that, Romans chapter 7, he had a sinful old man that he was fighting with and battling, just like we are today, sister, okay? But here's what he did. He acknowledged the Lord. He trusted in the Lord. He didn't lean on his understanding, and he let the Lord continue to accomplish through him what he said he would do. So I just want to leave you with that. There is a path that he has you on. There is a purpose that he wants to fulfill within your life, but he gave you the rule. He gave you the direction to go by. That's the word of God. If you trust him, if you don't lean on your understanding, it's going to work out. But if you don't be surprised why that step wasn't guided by the Holy Ghost. And all of a sudden, the problem gets worse and it gets worse and you make it more difficult. And before you know it, you're like Paul ending up in jail when the Lord could have avoided. I don't know. I'm just saying perhaps he probably wouldn't, because he kept telling the Holy Ghost, I'm down, Holy Spirit. I want to die for Jesus, even though he said, don't go back to Jerusalem. Remember, we already talked about that, but I'll just leave you with that. Amen. So for us tonight, what do we do? Let's just take the application. I need to trust God. I need to make sure that I'm making my decisions, judging myself with his word. I'm going to balance the scales. I want to avoid the Felixes of this world, not bribery or anything that could stray or pervert my judgment of doing that which is right. I want to surround myself with righteousness. And then I need to trust the Lord that he's going to fulfill the call that he placed on my life. So with that said, church, hope that was a blessing to you. Let's go ahead and end with prayer. Father, I thank you for the word of God tonight. I thank you for the fellowship of the Holy Spirit of God. I pray that tonight's teaching was clear and, Lord, was beneficial to the hearers tonight, God. Wherever I made an error in my human efforts, Lord, I pray that you would oversee that, God, and I pray your Holy Spirit will plant within the heart and minds of the people here the word and what it is that you wanted to instruct them as an individual from the general teaching, God. And tonight, Lord, we have no altar here, Lord, but we have chairs, we have a pew, we have a heart. And Lord, I just pray that tonight, as we come to close, that our saints may examine themselves before you, Lord, and really just take care of any business, God. If any one of us have not been acknowledging you in all our ways, we know who we are tonight, God. We know who we are when we acknowledge you within our family, but not in our money. Our money, but not in our family. We know who we are that are not surrendering to you all those things within our lives to acknowledge you first and foremost. Lord, would you help us? Whoever the weak brother or sister is here tonight, God, with those things. And Lord, for the faithful and for those that have been, who have been doing that, God, continue to strengthen them so they can accomplish what you said they must accomplish in your divine plan that you have for their life. And Lord, we'll thank you ahead of time for what it is that you're going to do within our life for your glory. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. What do we say, church? Amen. Church, God bless you. Please drive safe tomorrow. Soul winning. If you can, please join us. I sure be blessed and the Lord bless.